What I have that I want to share with you today is the song that we were talking about, I Am Learning, Precious Lessons Every Hour. You know, the Lord wants us to be able to learn some things through His Word. And I look at the instruction that is often given to us. And what I want to look at today is some instruction that Apostle Paul was given. It applied to the people back then. I'm looking in Romans. It applied to the Roman church back then, but it also applies to us today. But what I'm interested in at first is to look at how Paul presented things to the people. I'm looking at this 12th chapter of Romans and the 19th verse. I want to start with just the first two words. He's got some instruction for their life, but he starts it out with these two words, dearly beloved. You know, somebody's going to give you instruction for how to live your life. I would rather they would start it that way than to, let me tell you what you need to do. You've been messing up, and I'm going to tell you how you better straighten up. Instead, he goes to them, not just in this one place, but it's almost like he's expressing to them the love that he has for them with the instruction that he gives to them. There's places where Paul said things like this, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they would be saved. He had a purpose in life, and what he wanted, here's what that purpose was. My desire is for Israel to be able to be saved. And you know, his concern was for Jews that were not believers in Christ. His desire was that they would also be able to be saved. And I think he was remembering where God had brought him from. You know, there was a time where he was not a believer. And God came along through Christ and made a special visit to him on the road to Damascus. And it's almost like the love that was shown to him to show him where he was. Paul is now expressing that love to them and to us to be able to give us instruction for our life. In Philippians 4 and 1, I was looking at this, just the expression of love that he had for the people that he's given instruction to. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Why wouldn't you want to take some instruction that is given to you with that kind of love and be able to put it in your life? And then when Jesus said, there's something that I want to do, in the 15th chapter of John, when he's talking about the vine and the branches, he says, every branch that's bearing some fruit, there is some fruit being born. He wants to purge it, that it will bring forth more fruit. That's what he's interested in our lives when we come together for service each time, is that we would be able to go away purged and bearing more fruit. You know, they'll tell you with a fruit tree, it's got fruit on it, but if you just learn how to trim back these branches at a certain time in the year, it is going to produce so much more fruit. And we find that in our lives today. And the Lord gives us instruction through others that how that fruit can come to fruition the best way. So I want us to look at this verse. Here's some instruction. After he's told them how much he cares about them, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I was looking at an instruction about avenge. Never take the execution of the law into your own hands. You ever heard about taking the matter in your own hands? I'm going to take care of this issue. It's easy for us to do. Yes. It's easy for me to say, I see this situation. I have been done wrong, and I need to make a change right here. And this one says, dearly beloved, first of all, let me know the instruction that's coming to me has so much love with it. Here's something that's very important for me. Avenge not yourself. We have been for several weeks now been talking about fruit that comes out of our life. It's really not something complicated. It's my actions. It's my words. It all begins with my thoughts. My thoughts become an action. My thoughts become words. that people get to take the fruit from me. And what my interest is what do they see from that fruit? Would they come back the second time? Because would they even invite others? Let me tell you, what does the verse say? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Are people able to watch my life and be able to say to others, tell you what, come and taste of this fruit that's coming out of his life? And it's not because of our lives, it's because of what God is doing in us. I was looking at this, two different words, avenge and revenge. It says the main difference is that avenge implies a desire of justice or to right a wrong. Revenge is a personal act of retaliation for harm done. You did it to me, and I'll do it back to you. Let's look at something over in Matthew, because this has made me very thankful for the time that we live in. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, this is in the Sermon on the Mount, and in the 38th verse, ye have heard, it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. You read in the Old Testament, instruction was given, if you do this to this person, then they have the right to come back and do the same thing to you. Judgment will be given back. And I was thinking about that. Could it be possible that back then that was a deterrent for crime? To just tell you ahead of time, here's the time we're living in. God himself gives the instruction. If you do this that causes harm to someone else, they are to come back and give you that same harm again. I'm thankful for the hope that the gospel has given to us today. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Because I tell you, you watch the world around us today without the hope of the gospel, and you see we're still living in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You do me wrong, and I'm going to do you wrong right back again. The hope of the gospel takes us on past that. Look at this 39th verse. Jesus is telling them, I've got something better for you now. You know, that was God that gave the instruction for the Old Testament. But now Jesus has something new for them. I say unto you that ye resist not evil. When evil is coming to me, I do not retaliate back again. We heard in the Sunday school class this morning about God's grace. We should never look at, there's something in me that is able to do what I need to do. What I need to do is say, lead me back to that rock that is higher than I. The grace that is available. Let's say, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. This is one of those times when someone does us wrong. And it goes on to say, whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other. If a man sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. What a different concept than an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. No desire for retaliation. Down in the 43rd verse, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. I say unto you, love your enemies. You know what? We're going to need the grace of God to really, from down inside my heart, to be able to follow these scriptures. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. We're going to need help from the Lord. Maybe you don't have any troubles this week. Maybe nobody has done you wrong. But what I want you to do is just store this aside a little bit, because one day you will be able to use it. There will be a time where it comes, and this hopefully this verse will come back. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, neither give place to wrath. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. So we go back over here to Romans 12, because it gives us a little bit more. So over in 12 and 20, the next verse, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. be not overcome of evil. You know what? There's a lot of evil in the world today, and some of it will come our way. The instruction that's coming to me is don't let it overcome me. Don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You remember when we read about in Ecclesiastes 31 and 26, it's Proverbs 31 and 26, when we talk about the who can find a virtuous woman that's valuable. And then it says in the 26th verse, in her tongue is the law of kindness. I don't think that should be something just a virtue of a woman. I think it's something that I should be desiring. I would like to have that attained in my life. It's fruit. It's what the world gets to see when I call myself a Christian. What fruit comes out from that? And this one says, dearly beloved, don't avenge yourselves, because the world all around does that. But rather give place to wrath. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It says, in her tongue is the law of kindness. Not just in her tongue, but throughout her life, there's a law of kindness. And I want to compare that to something, because I find I'm having to say, Lord, help me in the day and time that we're living in. In Luke, the 9th chapter, you know, these are people that were walking right with Jesus. You would think they have the same spirit that he has. 9:53. When we read about this, Jesus, they're walking along. They come to a village. They're looking to see, can we stay at this village? And it says they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. For whatever reason this was, they did not invite him to stay. And look at what boils up inside of two of Jesus' followers. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? You know, in 2025, with the things that are happening that I never would have a few years ago thought would be happening today, if I'm not real careful, even as a Christian, I can be saying, Lord, it's about time for you to do something about this transgender, this, all of these things. And what does it say? It gives us some instruction. Don't be overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good. So when they're asking the Lord, what about it? Should we call down fire and consume them? That'd do it. Let's just take care of this problem. What does he say? He turned and he rebuked them. That's the 55th verse. And he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. And you know, whenever I want to retaliate because of something that's happened, if I could just have this little warning, like, come on, Dan, you don't know what spirit you're of. I've got a different spirit. What did he say? The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. What do I do with that little clip? Do I take a look at it and go around looking at people? What about Stephen? When he was being stoned, did he say, I tell you what, I'm giving this to the Lord. Vengeance is his and you're going to pay for it one of these days. What was the response that Stephen had for them? He had a prayer that he sent up to the Lord. It wasn't the same as James and John gave up. Should we call down fire and destroy them? What did he say? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. What an attitude. What fruit that's coming out of a life that is the stones are coming. He's going to soon be dead from one more of them. And he says, Lord, I tell you what, if you will erase this one off of their slate, if it's the only thing that keeps them out of heaven, I'd like to be able to meet them there. We won't be able to do that on our own. You know, Apostle Paul gives us all these instructions throughout the Bible of how to don't avenge yourself. Be real careful not to avenge yourself. But I want to look at something over in Acts. And I'm really glad that this has been put in the Bible. In Acts, the 23rd chapter, and in the first verse, Paul has been taken in to the council, and he's given them a testimony of what his life has been. First verse, he says, "Men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Says the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the face. Now, what kind of instruction has Paul been given us? Don't avenge yourself. Let it go to God. Vengeance is mine, God says. But look at what happened to Paul when he was smitten on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, "God shall smite thee." You know, God did say, "Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord." But it goes a step farther than when it's, "Be not overcome with evil, overcome evil with good." Paul said, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" You know, in this little place, Paul stood up for his rights. And if we're not careful in 2025, I can stand up for my rights. Maybe I just do it inside. And then it affects me and not others, but it does affect me. And then they that stood by said, "Do you revile God's high priest?" And Paul said, he humbled himself. He said, "I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. It is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." So he recognized what he had done and he humbled himself. So I look at these places right here where you see one saying, "We can rise up. What about if we call down fire and destroy them?" There is another one that I want to think about. Abraham. There's fruit that came out of Abraham's life. Whenever he was told the angels are going down to Sodom and Gomorrah to look it over, he could have easily said, "God, I have been wondering why it has taken you so long to come down here and judge that situation." Did he do that? What his response was, "Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? If in that whole city, if there is 50, if you can find 50 righteous people, would you spare the city?" You know what he's doing is, he's not overcome with evil. He's overcoming evil with good. He's saying, "Lord, I tell you what, if there's some righteous people, would you even spare those that are not righteous?" And then he gets to thinking about it. There may not be 50 righteous. And he asks for 40 and 30 and 20 and then 10. "God, if you just find 10 righteous people, would you be willing to spare the city?" You know what? That's another level of vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, we can take that little piece and have an attitude in our heart. "You're going to pay for this one of these days." And something builds inside of me. When I could be like Abraham was, "Lord, I tell you what, would you have mercy on them? Spare the city. There's maybe some righteous people there." Or like Stephen, "Lord, don't even lay this sin to their charge." You know what happens? There's something that it does for me. It's definitely something that it does for the fruit-bearing process in my life. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace. It's long-suffering, it's gentleness, it's all these things that God would like to produce more of in my life. And I think of an example that has been left to us. Jesus left it. Tells us over in 1 Peter, the second chapter, it starts telling us, I want you to know about how Jesus did it, 2 and 21, because he left us an example. "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us." He's leaving us an example that we follow in his steps. So now I want to say, okay, if I'm supposed to follow in his steps, what were his steps? Here they are. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled," what did he say back? "He reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." That's the example that has been set for me. When he was on trial and they would ask him a question, there were several times that it said he answered them nothing. He did not take a response back to them. And I want to tell you, there's a whole bunch of difference between Jesus and me when trouble comes in my life. Because he had the power to be able to change his situation. We may not have any power to be able to take away the problems that are in our, that come in our life. But I'd like for us to look at something. This is how Jesus handled it in Matthew. Because you remember Peter decided, you know what, he could help the situation out a little bit. He had a sword. Matthew, the 26th chapter, the 53rd verse. Jesus said unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it may be? Peter, I have the power to be able to change this situation. I could call enough angels to call all this to an end. But Peter, there's a reason for me to go through what I'm going through. Then in Philippians 2 and 5, it comes down for us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We sing a song, give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Keep me holy as he is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness. May I prove I've been with Jesus. Do I need to go around talking about it all the time? No. Prove it by the fruit is coming out of my life. I want to prove I've been with Jesus by the fruit that's coming out. And then he closes it all down. He's hanging on the cross. You would think he would have nothing more that he could give to someone else. And then when the thief on the cross says, would you, when you go into your kingdom, would you remember me? And he said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. But as he finishes out, he could have, when reviled, he reviled not again. You know, he could have easily told them, I'll meet you one day. I will be your judge. We read in Revelation 20 that we're all going to meet it one day. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. And then judgment came for everyone. You know what? Judgment will come for us. Jesus knew that judgment would come for the high priest that was calling on the multitude to say, crucify him. But you know what? I believe Jesus was opening up an opportunity at any time they could make a change. Really, even after he was gone, they could have made a change. And what did he say as he finished out his life? Father, write this all down and make it up to them when they come out to be judged. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We're going to need the Lord's grace to be able to help us in our life, because it's going to be real easy for something to flow out just to show how my disapproval is there. You know, Joseph had a lot of time in those years that he was in prison to think about vengeance of his own, or even to just in his mind say, God's going to take care of this one of these days. They're going to pay for it. You know what? We get to recognize that he didn't have either one of those thoughts in his mind, that God's going to pay him back one of these days. When his brothers came to a place where now he can recompense evil for evil, he tells them, don't be angry with yourselves. It wasn't you that put me here. It was God that put me here. You know what is going to be a real blessing to me, to us, when we go through these things, is to be able to have the attitude, God is the one that has allowed this in my life. Job did it. We get to read about who took the camels, who took the other livestock. It was people that did it. And when it was finishing up in the first chapter of Job, Job said, the Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think something that's going to be very important for us is in our life, when something is done, that we have the feeling of retaliating. And I want to, it's real easy for us to say, as a Christian, I don't retaliate. You know, we can retaliate in our mind and never say a word about it. We can spend time thinking about, God, it's time for you to go take care of this situation for me. Lord, I want to be able to have, let his mind be in me. I want to have the attitude, Lord, you, that's all yours. In fact, I'd be happy if you would clear the record of what's been done to me with them, that they could make heaven their home. What about Daniel? Did he avenge? He didn't avenge outwardly or inwardly. When he spent his night in the lion's den, you can avenge just with words that you say. When the king came the next morning so anxious, Daniel, are you still alive? Has God spared you? Daniel could have taken a little vengeance right there, just with the words that he said. He could have said, you are such a foolish king. What do you mean, even taking some advice from somebody to say, you can't pray to anybody but the king for 30 days. I can't believe you, king. He didn't even do it. What he did was, instead of being overcome with evil, he overcame evil with good. What did he say? O king, live forever. Just go ahead on whatever you need to do. It's my God that has spared me. We're going to go through some things in this life. So many things that Stephen could have said when the stones were coming. There's a verse that says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall have mercy. There's a verse I want to look at before we close. It's over in James. Because it's going to give us some instruction of how I need to handle my life. James, the second chapter, and then the 13th verse. He shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy. You know, I need mercy in my life from the Lord. This one says there can be judgment come into my life without mercy when I have not shown mercy to others. But I like this next verse, this next part of it. Mercy rejoices against judgment. Stephen, I believe, did that. Mercy rejoices against God. You take care of them. God's going to take care of you one of these days. You're going to be judged. Instead, mercy rejoiced against it when he was able to say, don't lay this sin to their charge. There is a fruit that is born when we're able to let this come down in my heart and start bearing fruit from it. Be not overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good. I want to tell you what it gives us. And I want to, Lord willing, I would like for us to look at it this afternoon. In John, the 14th chapter and the 27th verse, what price, what value is peace in your life? It's real valuable to me. I'd like for it to always be there. I want to tell you this verse where Paul gave them instruction. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, because what's going to happen is I'm going to lose peace. And peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit that he would like to be produced in my life, not just for other people. Peace is a fruit that I get to enjoy myself in my life. My peace I want to give you. It's not like the kind that the world gives. The kind that the world gives says, remove all difficulty and you can have peace. I live out in the country. I'm away from people. I work in the city. I drive out there at night and my ears ring because I don't have any noise. It's so quiet. I would call that peace. But you know what? If I don't have peace inside, it doesn't matter how quiet. In fact, it's worse when I have it quiet around me. That's why a lot of people need noise going all the time, is there's a lot of turmoil going on. I want to be having the peace inside first and then have it flow out that I can enjoy those other things. There is a verse in Philippians 4 and 7. There is a peace that passes understanding. And the world can be able to look on our lives when we let this work in our life. Remember the place where it's talking about, it's like leaven that a woman put in some meal, and it just worked all through it and made a loaf that people could enjoy. I believe, and when we put this in, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves from the outside or from the inside. Hand it over to God. We all understand vengeance is His. He will repay. It may be on the judgment day that He repays. But it's a value to me today to be able to say, Lord, I release it from me. It brings a peace that we want to be able to have. Leaving vengeance to the Lord. There's a verse that talked about there can be peace like a river. Not just a little trickle and it dries up sometimes and sometimes it has a little more. But be able to have it just flowing in my life. And I want to tell you, in the day that we're living in, the world around me needs to be able to see this fruit on display. When I am wronged, let me do like Christ. When He was reviled, He reviled not again. But He committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. I would like for us to finish with a song. It's number 393. Because if you think about it, we're all going to leave here. And tomorrow, we will face situations where there's going to be some fruit come out of our life. There will be things that happens. And maybe it starts as a seed. And then what do I allow it to do? Is it something that's going to benefit others if I allow it to grow? Or if, dearly beloved, don't avenge yourselves. Because it's going to hurt you and it's going to hurt other folks also. This song says we're going to reap what we sow. It says, as is the sowing, so is the reaping. And here's some of the sowing. Fourth verse, gentleness, kindness, purity, trueness. This is going to yield a rich fruitage, never to cease. Sowing and meekness under the Spirit is going to bring eternal blessings and peace. It says, soon we're going to gather what we're now scattering. Unto your life give diligent heed. What we are sowing, it's growing. That which we reap is going to be just like the seed. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, neither give place to wrath, inside or outside. Remember, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Be not overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good. I say, Lord, help me.